I want to say to you this evening that the most important thing in the life of a Christian is his spiritual health. Equal to that, the most important thing in the life of a church is her spiritual health. And one of the subtleties that corrupt the health of the spiritual body quicker than anything else is the subtlety of false teaching. And because of that, every Christian needs to be able to discern and diagnose the setbacks that come to our spiritual health caused by the subtlety of false teachers. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm even careful to use the term false teachers because we presume that these who are identified as such are obviously detectable. It's as if we hear the terminology false teachers and we just automatically know who they are. But listen to what Paul had to say about legitimate false teachers. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 13 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So before we think that or presume that it's just automatically detectable who false teachers, may we heed the caution of Paul who says if Satan himself is going to transform himself into an angel of light, who are we to think that his ministers aren't going to do the same? And that's why it is extremely important that you and I and the church take careful discernment to see that what appears to be light is really darkness. Now, this subject of false teachers is not new to Timothy as Paul is writing this epistle to him in the church at Ephesus. As a matter of fact, it's the third time that we see him dealing with it. He's already dealt with it in chapter 1, he dealt with it in chapter 4, and now once more he makes a plea to protect the spiritual health of the individual Christians as well as the church body by reminding them how important it is to diagnose false teachers. I want to be very, very practical. As a matter of fact, I'm going to just help you understand the text tonight. And then at the end, we're going to take just a few minutes to give the general application that Paul gives all of us this evening. How do we diagnose false teachers? How do we detect them? How do we discern who it is that is teaching the truth and writing about the truth and preaching the truth versus those who are not? Three things Paul says we need to take in consideration. Number one, discern the content of their teaching. Discern the content of their teaching. And this is where the quest for truth and validity begins. We have to ask the question, what is the content of their teaching? By the way, that's why it is extremely important that believers know their Bibles. For it's very easy to detect those who are not teaching the Bible if we understand the Bible the way God would have us to understand it. We understand that that's what the Bible says about the Bereans. They were noble. Why? Because they searched the Scriptures daily. Listen, knowing and learning the Bible shouldn't be something we just do on Sundays when we come together. It needs to be a daily part of our life. Study to show thyself approved. Why? Not only so you can be blessed by God through your learning and walk with Him, but also so that you can be able to detect the difference between true teaching and false teaching. We need to know their Bibles. And this excuse of not being able to detect what is true from false because we don't know the Bible is really not a good excuse. As believers, we need to daily study to show ourselves approved. And so he says, discern the content of their teaching. Now, he mentions some characteristics about their content that should give us some red flags. Here's the first one. Number one, the teaching of false teachers does not comply with Scripture. Number one, their teaching does not comply with Scripture. If you want to try to determine this guy you like to watch on television, or this author you like to read, or this radio personality you like to listen to, if you want to determine whether or not they're giving you the truth, then you need to listen to the content of their teaching. And very practically make sure that the content of their teaching complies with Scripture. Because if it does not comply with Scripture, go ahead and cross it off the list. The Bible identifies them as a false teacher. Listen to what the Scripture says in verse number 3. He says, if any man teach otherwise. Otherwise, other than what? Other than the things that are contained within the Word of God. If any man teach any other doctrine to you, Paul said to the Corinthian church. You see, false teachers can take on many different forms. They may deny God's existence. They may deny the virgin birth. They may even deny the inspiration, the authority of the Scriptures. But the bottom line is this. Any content that they teach that is contrary to the Scripture is false teaching, and it need not go any further in your life. We stop it right there. We don't justify it. We stop it. False teachers will have content that does not comply with the Bible. Number two, the heart of their ministry is not the Word of God. So how do I determine whether or not the content of this teacher, this evangelist, this pastor, radio personality, whatever the case may be, how do I determine whether the content is true or false? Well, number one, we need to determine whether or not their teaching complies with Scripture. But number two, we understand that of false teachers, the heart of their ministry is not the Word of God. Look at it in verse number 3 again. He said, if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying false teachers are not committed to the Word of God. They may speak of Jesus, they may talk about the Father, but the false teacher, the Bible, will not be the driving force of their teaching and preaching ministry. They're not going to speak of wholesome words, much less even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The content of false teachers are constantly known as people who add to the Word of God and who take away from the Word of God. That's why in our ministry we are very intentional about the systematic teaching and preaching of the Word of God. We very purposely go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. Why? Because it is more important that you learn from God's Word than you learn from my Word. And those who dismiss the teaching and preaching of God's Word, this idea, let me find a little verse and read it, close my Bible and give you a bunch of psychology. We must be very, very careful about that, because the heart of a false teacher will not be driven by the Word of God. He'll be driven by his intellect. He'll be driven by his persuasion. He'll be driven by his philosophy, but he will not be driven by the Word of God. And someone recently asked me, Pastor, I'm moving. What should I look for in a church? I think one of the first things you ought to look for is in the preaching. Is the preaching driven by the Word of God? If it's not driven by the Word of God, you can't grow. You're not going to be helped. And it's borderline controversial. And so he says we have to be careful. Because in the content of their teaching, it's not going to comply with Scripture. And their ministries are not going to be driven by the Word of God. But then he says something at the end of verse 3 that's very interesting. Number 3, their teaching does not produce true godliness. Think about that for a moment. He said, you look at the false teachers and what they're teaching. Then look at the fruit of their followers. Because a false teacher is not going to help his listener produce true godliness. Look at it in verse 3. And to the doctrine which is according to godliness. I think that's the ultimate test of any teaching. The ultimate test of any teaching is whether or not it produces godliness. For teaching that does not point toward godly living is teaching that is, quite frankly, not based on the Word of God. Jude said this in the 4th verse of his epistle. He said, for there are certain men crept in unaware, ungodly men. He said, there's some men that have come into the church. He said, they're ungodly men, and they've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. He said, instead of pushing the people toward becoming more like God and more like Christ, their teaching is far opposite from that. They're not becoming godly. They're becoming more and more ungodly. We have to examine that. because the content of a false teacher is not going to comply with Scripture. He's not going to be driven by the Word of God. And the fruit of their church, the fruit of their ministry, it's not going to point people toward godliness. Quite the opposite. Look, it's going to point people toward themselves. That's the major difference. For a genuine man of God is going to push people toward Christ, not himself. And I just want to warn you as a church family, I know we got guests here tonight, but let me just talk to Laurel Baptist Church, please. Be careful about those who are more interested in winning people to themselves than they are to Christ. Be careful about those who are more interested in their followers rather than getting people to follow Jesus Christ, and their content is going to reveal their motive. Their content. Oh, pastor, I like this guy. I want to read after him. I like listening to him on the radio. We've got this assistant pastor at our church, and we like listening to him preach. How do we know he's the real deal? Now we look at the content. What does he teach? Does it comply with Scripture? Is his ministry driven by the Word of God? And does he push you to be more like God, or is he just interested in winning you to himself? Discern the content of their teaching. Number two. He says, secondly, discern the profile of their character. He says, when it comes to determining who's real teachers and who are false teachers, we need to look at the content of their teaching, but we also need to understand the profile of their character. Paul identifies in verses 4 and 5 four distinct character profiles for you and I to be cautious about in order to help us diagnose those who are false teachers. What do they look like? What do they act like? What does their profile lend itself to? He actually gives us four things about these people that lead us to believe that they're false teachers. Number one, he said it's going to be, first of all, a conceited individual. False teachers are conceited individuals. Now listen, this is not Jonathan's idea of a false teacher. This is what the Bible is teaching us. Look at what he says in verse number four. Now that man that doesn't comply with Scripture, verse 3, that man that doesn't drive his ministry by the words of Jesus Christ, that man that doesn't point people to godliness, here's what you need to know about him. Number one, he is proud. He's proud. He's conceited. Arrogant. He's a prideful individual. And I think arrogance, conceitedness, and pride are an inevitable mark of those who distort and abuse the Scriptures. Because they emphasize their own view of life to the point where they have emphasized it above the Bible. And to emphasize our philosophies and our Christian living even above the Bible, that is the epitome of arrogance. Is that one of the first things we need to understand about false teachers is that they are prideful people. They don't care about God's heart in the matter. It's all about what they want the people to do. And so they'll ignore Scripture. They'll twist Scripture. They add to Scripture. They take away Scripture. They misinterpret. They misapply. Why? Because they are so arrogant. They're so conceited. They are so prideful. Their number one agenda is their agenda and not God's. And what's extremely interesting is that verse 4 says, as proud as they are, they know nothing. The conceited are truly ignorant. They may act like know-it-alls, but really they know nothing when it comes to the heart and the mind of God. This is something about a know-it-all that rubs off the wrong way, doesn't it? You know what I'm talking about. No, some of you are married to know-it-alls. They know everything about everything, right? And in the end, they know nothing. Now, I hear Caitlin amening over here. She knows what I'm talking about. Sometimes we get so arrogant, so prideful, so conceited in our walk with God. I wonder what God is really saying about us. You prance around like you know everything there is to know about the Bible. In reality, you don't even know my heart. You don't even know my mind. He said the profile of a false teacher, they're a conceited individual. Number two, they are a controversial individual. The profile. We're talking about the profile of a false teacher. They're conceited. They're controversial. Look at verse 4 again. They're proud, knowing nothing. Here's what else they do. Doting about questions and strives for words. Y'all understand what that means, don't you? Do I even have to explain that? We can go on, don't we? Doting about. Well, let's be real. Let's understand what that means. We don't walk around every day and say, oh, that person's doting about questions. He's doting about questions and strives of word. In other words, they have an unhealthy interest in controversy. They love controversy. They live for controversy. It's their goal every day to stir something up. They're not troublemakers, but they're very interested in making trouble. They just love to be all caught up in the middle of it. As a matter of fact, they're not happy unless they are caught up in the middle of a controversy. That's what he's talking about here. These type of people are doting around. They're prancing around, walking here and there with all of these unnecessary questions, and they're using their words to cause strife. He's saying they are controversial individuals. Instead of diligently studying and humbly submitting to God's word, they seek verses of scripture to use it in a sick, self-motivated way to stir the pot, so to speak. He says, you be careful about that individual. You be careful about that guy who just loves controversy and he loves being in the middle of it. That type of guy lends itself to being a false teacher. He's controversial. We're not talking about controversy in the sense that the truth is going to be controversial to the unregenerate world. We understand that. He's talking about those who do not use the truth in a sincere and genuine way. These people who use their own self-made ideas and philosophies to push agendas and belief systems, and they're not happy unless somebody's fighting and fussing about it. False teachers, they're conceited, they're controversial. Number three, he says they're corrupt, a corrupt individual. Now, this is where he kind of skips down to verse 5. We're going to come back to the rest of verse 4 in just a minute, because in verse 4, he begins telling us the effects of this type of thing. But let's keep on going with this train of thought here. He's saying conceited, controversial, corrupt, because here's what kind of men they are. Look at it, verse 5. They are men of corrupt minds, and because of that, they're destitute of the truth. I think perhaps the spiritual condition of false teachers is best described by this phrase. Because their minds are so corrupted, and as a result of their corruption, they're void of the truth. And that's the problem with false teachers. Their minds are so corrupted that they can't truly understand the deep things of God. That's why the scripture teaches us that their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. That's why it shouldn't shock us when we see that they get on national television and they do not affirm that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, because their minds are corrupt. They can't affirm that. They're men of corrupt minds because they're void of the truth. And so they're automatically going to be against that which we know the Bible teaches. And it's from that person, Paul said, be very careful. They're corrupt. They're controversial. They're conceited. They're false teachers. And then I find it interesting that he throws this one in at the end of verse 5. He says they are a commercialized individual. Commercialized individual. Look at verse 5. Supposing, these men are supposing that gain is godliness. That's what they teach. That's what they live by. That's their motto. The more money you get, the more godly you are. Now we have a serious problem. Because not only they are teaching from a conceited perspective in controversy with a corrupt mind, now they commercialize their teachings. And think about it. Their character is so scathed that they promote blessings on the basis of a financial transaction, using godliness as a means to financial gain. Do you realize how hard it is not to apply this right now? Because it's all over the place. I can't just share one story or two story or three illustrations. No, you turn on the television. It's preacher after preacher. It's book after book. It's ministry after ministry. They're not interested in the sincerity of God's word. They're interested in the almighty dollar. How can I make a buck off you? Oh, here it is. We'll tell them that God will heal them for cancer if they'll send us a gift for $500. They've commercialized the blessing of God. If you give this, if you do this, God will bless you. And this is what Paul was wanting the church at Ephesus to understand. And it's as relevant today as it was then. But the character of these men whom Paul warns us about is quite simply a group of people who are thirsty for applause, they are hungry for praise, and they are greedy for notoriety. Why? Because they're conceited. They're controversial, their minds are corrupt, and all they care about is money. How do I know if this man that I like to listen to or this woman I like to read after or whatever is honored by God? Look at the content of their teaching. Does it comply with Scripture? Is it driven by the Word of God? Does it produce godliness? Look at the profile of their character. Are they conceited, prideful, and arrogant? Are they always caught up in a controversy? I mean, every time you turn around, they're fighting and fussing with other believers about something or another. It's really not biblically important. Their minds are corrupt. They're always talking about money. He said, we have to be careful about these individuals. And then he gives us the third thing to consider, and I'll be done. Number three, he says, discern the effect of their ministry. So we're discerning the content of their teaching. We're discerning the profile of their character. Number three, we're discerning the effect of their ministry. Real quickly, let me wrap this up by showing you what Paul said would be the effect or the results of their false teaching. What does it produce in the church? What, frankly, does it produce in the body of Christ? He's not saying that these men necessarily do these things, although I do believe it is a byproduct of such living. More or less what he's teaching us is because they're false teachers and because they do not comply with Scripture and their ministries are not driven by the Word, here's what you can expect the people to be and to do instead of being godly. Number one, he says it produces, first of all, envy. Envy. False teachers produce envy in the lives of those who follow them. And look at verse number four again. He's listing this list. He's saying they're proud, they know nothing, they're controversial. Whereof cometh? From this man cometh these things. The first one is envy. What is envy? We know it as the inward discontent. The inward discontent with the advantages of others. The inward discontent of the popularity that is enjoyed by others. Simply and practically defined, is a desire to want what someone else has. It's jealousy. That's what envy is. And look right here. Men who build their ministries around themselves inevitably create jealousy among those who follow them. We have to be extremely careful about this. Because it plants this idea that if I don't have what that guy has, I'm not being blessed by God. Because after all, he said, if I do these things and that, God's going to bless me. No, that's false teaching. And now what it's done, it's created envy in your heart and my heart because we've listened to what he had to say. So be careful with false teachers. They're not going to help you live a contented life. They're going to help you live a discontented life. Envy. Number two, strife is a product of such false teaching. He says it again, wherefore cometh not only envy, but strife. What is strife? It gives the connotation of competitiveness. It's unhealthy competitiveness. Unhealthy competitiveness that leads to selfishness and pride. There's nothing wrong with enjoying healthy competition. We're competitive people. We all realize that the Panthers are going to win the Super Bowl this year. We know that. Any idiot doesn't recognize that. Y'all know Jim's a Dolphins fan. Do we have any other Dolphins fans? Who has a couple Dolphins fans? Mike, I didn't know you were a Dolphins fan. All right, so the Panthers have invited me to pray the prayer over the game between the Dolphins before it kicks off. Y'all ready for this? I've been practicing it. You ready? Gotta get my stadium voice on. Dear Heavenly Lily Father. Here's what I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna say, Dear God, I'm gonna have my Luke Kuechly jersey on, my Cam Newton hat. Dear God, bless this food as we partake in sushi on this football field tonight. Amen. I can't wait. It's gonna be on SportsCenter. We love competitiveness. We enjoy it. Nothing wrong with it. There's a problem with it when it gets in the ministry. Unhealthy competitive that leads to selfishness and pride. He says that's what false teachers will do. False teachers do not encourage your work in the ministry. They don't come alongside of you and say, man, you play the piano beautifully, Josh. No, here's what they say. You missed a note. I can play better than he can. He's from L.A. Competitiveness. This boy over here, he's the one smoking the cigarettes. Listen how low he sings. Burn. Now, I can hit it lower than he can. Unhealthy competitiveness. That's what false teachers will do. False teachers will give you a distorted view of God and the Bible where you think that this ministry has to compete with that ministry. And my Christian life has to compete with that Christian life. And my family has to compete with... It just generates strives and it's ungodly. It's unprofitable. The third thing he said it does, it presents slander. Slander. Look at verse 4. Not only cometh envy, cometh strife, cometh railings. That word railings means slander. It's the result of strife and envy. It's insult. Slander is abusive language. It's the ultimate need to exalt oneself at the expense of someone else. That's what false teachers do. They make you envious. They make you competitive. They cause you to slander people who don't do it the way you do it. And then he uses an interesting phrase at the end of verse 4, evil surmisings. I'm going to walk into my kids' bedrooms tonight after I hear them fighting and fussing, and I'm going to say, I'm surmising about something this evening. It means suspicious. Suspicious is what he's talking about here. And it's not a good suspicion. Because what Paul is saying is in the environment of envy, strife, and slander, there is bound to develop a spirit of constant suspicion. Hey, constant suspicion about anyone and everyone. Jared and I felt like that when we first came to Charlotte. We were the new kids on the block starting the ministry. A lot of the older pastors in town kept us at a distance except the old one in Gastonia. And he had to. I intercepted a conversation one day that said they were keeping me at a distance because they had to figure me out. We're not quite sure that he's like us. Suspicions. You know what suspicions do? It leads to unhealthy whispers. It leads to distrust. Instead of unity, it produces disunity because they may not be like me. Now, what's amazing to me is Paul says this is the result of false teaching. False teachers will lead to people who are envious, strife, slander, suspicious. And then the last one, he says there'll come a lot of disputes. Wherefore cometh, verse 5, perverse disputings. That's the end result, Paul says. where there's envy, where there's strife, where there's slander, where there is suspicion, there will be disputes. What are disputes? It's friction among men. It's tension between believers. It's irritations with one another. Hey, this youth group's here tonight. They're getting ready to go to camp. Do you actually think all of them are going to get along all week long? Absolutely not. There's going to be some frictions because one of them ain't going to take a bath all week long until he goes down the water slide at the park. This guy's going to call his mama because this dude stole his girlfriend, and I mean just all kinds of friction and fighting and tension and disputing. And what Paul says is that in the body of Christ, listen to me, this is where it gets convicting, Brother Weaver, is in the body of Christ, sometimes we preachers can be guilty of creating suspicion and disputes and strife and jealousy and slander in the body of Christ. Because our preaching is not driven by the Word of God. Because our preaching adds or takes away from the Scriptures. We're prideful and conceited and controversial. Listen, I want you to think about this, and I'm finished. What do all these have in common? What is strife, envy, slander, and dispute? What does it all have in common? One word. Disunity. It all leads to disunity. Why? Because false teaching never produces unity in the body of Christ. Never. False teachers rub each other the wrong way, the sheep start rubbing each other the wrong way. And false teachers are infected with pride and controversy. The people get infected with pride and controversy. And disunity develops. Listen to me, only truth unifies. Only truth. And that's one of the premier reasons why it's important who we listen to preach, what conferences we attend, what books we read out, who we follow on social media. Because God wants us to be engaged with those who are standing and teaching the truth. Because truth unifies. False teachers create disunity. Now, the application is quite simple. We find it in the final four words of verse number 5. Here's what he says to do. From such. Such what? Such false teachers. From those conceited, controversial, corrupt, commercialized people. From those guys who are not driven by the Word of God, who do not preach the Bible, to those who elevate their philosophies above the way of God. From those people, look at it, verse 5, withdraw thyself. Withdraw thyself. Separate from it. It's simple, really. Men whose ministries are not driven by the clear and pure teaching of God's word are men who selfishly and pridefully seek to create unmerited controversy that in return creates disunity and disparity in the body of Christ. And Paul says to those men, get away from them. Get away from them. Don't read their books. Don't watch them on television. Don't go to their conferences. Don't visit their church. Don't follow them on Twitter. Get away from them. Withdraw yourself from false teachers. Because false teachers can corrupt the spiritual health of the body. And nothing is more important than the spiritual health of your life and mine. May God help us to discern the content of those who teach God's word, to discern the profile of their character, to discern the effect of their ministry. If you're visiting with us tonight, we do things just a little bit different here. We don't necessarily come forward because God has spoken to our hearts, or excuse me, if God has spoken to our hearts, our entire church family comes around the altar to pray every time the word of God is preached because we want God to speak to us. And we're going to do that in a moment. You're welcome to join us if you're a guest, but don't feel obligated. And I think we have much to pray about. Because Satan, the angel of light, would love to come in and spread his darkness through the people we listen to and the books we read. And if in this little church at Ephesus, in this little epistle of 6 chapters, 3 times, Paul emphasizes, be careful about false teachers. Be careful about false teachers. Be careful about false teachers. Don't you think the Laurel Baptist Church needs to heed the instruction too? We must be careful. We husbands, fathers, we need to ask God to help us to guard and protect our families. We need to guard a fortress in our heart to make sure that we're heeding and listening to that is true to the Word of God, not divisive. So that we can recognize the pure body of Christ the way He intended it to be.